Three, two, one. Podcast. What is it? What is podcast short for? I actually don't know that. Do you know what that's for? How to? Because we had an idea before.
Portable broadcast.
Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Portable broadcast. I don't know. Google that.
I don't know. That was complete guess.
Because think about
portable.
I mean,
generically, netcast. An episodic series of digital audio or video files which a user can download in order to listen to. That comes from Wikipedia, which means probably not true.
I think my definition was better.
Yeah,
I think portable broadcast.
Because before we started recording, we were talking about a different type of cast. Called it a poo cast. We're all just sitting on toilets facing each other.
But you gotta eat really nasty.
Yeah, you the whole concept is you.
And it's kind of like, it's almost like what we do in wrestling match, like a surrender match. You just, like, if someone can quit, but you all gotta sit in there and smell each other's poo. And then if you can withstand it, then you can stay on the podcast.
Yeah. But we call it a poo cast.
When we all get to India, we all get to Delhi, we all eat out.
And you have to
drink,
facing
drink from
each
the
other.
Top. Drink from the top. First to poo loses.
Yeah.
Or you could do, and then you could do like specialty podcasts where you just take laxatives. And then there's like, you do like, all right, no flush for 15 minutes. But you can't do courtesy flushes, so you just go, poo just sits in
the
box. I'm all about that.
Well, finally starting it. How long have we been talking about this?
I mean, like three months?
We did one in Greece in an airport. And that was in May.
We had talked about, because
my camera shut off.
I still haven't quite figured out what the name is going to be. Oh my gosh, really bad. I got to stop picking scabs.
Nah, keep it going.
This is why the pick and post does not work for wounds.
Keep it going.
Nah.
You guys are going to learn a lot of pseudoscience on this podcast today, probably, especially the pick and post method, which is something Matt and I have been, actually didn't even know who we are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll do introductions in a sec, but like Drew was saying, we had tried to start a podcast about 7 months ago. We did one episode. That podcast was actually going to be called Airlines, Not Hairlines, but I wasn't as bald as I am becoming. Drew's already accepted that fate. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of fighting.
It's kind of like you're fighting a good fight. It's a fight you're not going to win.
You're not going to win it. Well, that's why you should shave your hair, because it's like,
I gotta avoid,
I'm the author of my own destiny. You know what
I'm saying? I gotta avoid pools and water, because that doesn't.
It's like, I got this old saying: you can't be balding if you shave your head. Yeah. See.
It makes sense if you don't think about it.
Huh?
So yeah. So tried. This is the retry of that. Trying out using one of our cameras and using this podcast app. Don't know if this audio is going to be good. No idea. We don't really know what we're doing, but we're just kind of doing it. Better done than perfect type of mentality. So start off introductions. My name is Matt. This may be the Matt Lena podcast. We don't know. We might have a little brainstorm session about that, because I feel like there's got to be a better, like, I don't want to just, because like Joe Rogan can do that, but he also gets
200 million downloads every single month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but think about all the other stupid names of podcasts people have. Like, I love Chris Elias. Congratulations. What does that even mean? It's like people are just like, oh, I gotta come up with a name. Or Joey Diaz, Church of What's Happening Now.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Oh. What does that even mean? The closest one I'll be respectable to is Theo Vaughn's. This past weekend, where he's like, yeah, I talked about what happened this past weekend. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. A little bit more. But he doesn't. He talks about everything.
I was thinking maybe I'd do a podcast and call it Things and Stuff. I know you
stuff
had an idea. You had a similar idea.
Stuff and Things. Because he talked about stuff.
Yeah, but I want to talk about things and then stuff. Yeah. So it's a difference.
It's similar.
Similar, but different.
Yeah, so I think, just more generic name. Then you kind of corner yourself. Like, the fighter and the kid, not bad, because it's a guy who is a fighter. And then I don't know why they call Brian Callen the kid, because he's like 50, but it's like two people.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Which, Jake is our guest today, which we'll do some more introductions here soon. But Drew is probably going to be on this podcast a lot, so get used to his Vin Diesel looking face. But
we're doing that too, aren't we?
Overall.
Oh, we're doing the camera.
Oh, got it. You gotta put it on YouTube. So. This is a kimono podcast.
I was thinking of like kimonos and cowboy hats. Cowboys and kimonos. You wear cowboy hats and kimonos.
We can do that. We both.
Nigga, why do you call that? You go, because that's what you wear.
Like, that's what we wear.
It's kind of like the poo cast. Yeah. Where it's like, you're pooping.
Yeah.
Easy.
It's very, you want the podcast name to be representative of what's actually happening in the podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, not like just some vague name. Congratulations, Chris D'Elia, jump off bridge.
Hey.
Congratulations for what?
Hey, change it.
Change it.
Change it. Don't like the name, change it.
All right, I need to get water because I forgot to do that before this, so you guys just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, we're going to start. I don't know if this is going to be a ceremonial thing, but I travel with a French press because I'm a coffee snob. And
oh, you're traveling? Or
maybe we can...
Maybe not in your living room or room.
Yeah, we're going to do introductions. You got to let it build, bro. You got to see. I'm thinking this is a ceremonial thing. Like, we have coffee on the podcast, and it's a ceremonial plunge. That could be a thing for the poop cast.
It's like the H3H3 podcast where they take a bong.
Yeah.
It's like tobacco.
It's like one of those things in lifestyle. What do you want to be remembered for?
Mm-hmm. So like, you can be remembered for doing something. Like, if you guys heard of Jamie Orbison from the UK, Jamie Orbison ran 24 hours backwards and raised £21,000. He ran backwards for 24 hours. You, Matt, you can be remembered for providing good coffee on your podcast.
Yeah. It's true. You come, hey, if you come to be a guest on my podcast.
Ran backwards 24 hours.
Don't he's next year.
You know what I have to say about that? Turn around.
Why are you running?
Why are you running backwards?
Because running forwards in 24 hours obviously is too easy.
Yeah.
Also,
you're both gentlemen and scholars. Thanks for being on the podcast, episode one. I'm very excited for the dead.
We have a Brit. Pinkies up. We have a Brit.
Oh gosh, that's hot.
It was hot. I think mine's supposed to be poured.
Yeah, we're gonna.
we can't give it a straight on coffee.
Yeah,
straight down.
So introductions. Drew, where are you from? Name.
You're supposed to.
Your favorite animal that's alive.
I feel like you know have the like. You're supposed to know the guests before they come along.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it's also kind of like people like talking about themselves.
So. No,
I would personally.
Okay, well, so his name is Drew Etherton. He hails from the second best city in Nebraska, Lincoln.
No, the biggest.
Second best city. It's not the best.
It's capital.
Mm. Why do so many people live in Omaha? Next question. So Drew, we'll get a little bit into his background a little bit more as we talk about today's discussion, which is why we have Jake on the podcast today. Hailing from the UK, Manchester.
He's a city boy, Man City, go Blues.
Man United.
His background is in fitness and health, nutrition. We've been talking a lot about. I know we're. No. Yeah,
this is respectable. I didn't say it.
It'll come out.
This is a respectable podcast. Cowboys and kimonos. C&K.
Yep.
But.
I was strictly ignoring Bumble notifications on this podcast.
Yes, no Bumble
notifications.
No slut.
I mean.
It depends. If she's.
Yeah, I would.
If we're crypto, didn't it?
Just wait till like we start going on something, and then you just kind of. Because we also don't have any plans for the evening, so.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
We were lonely on Valentine's Day as well.
Yeah. Which we are. We're currently in Colombo, Sri Lanka. So, this is where the podcast isn't going to really have a home location. So, this isn't going to be a stationary thing. Because we're not what you'd call professionals, but we move around a lot. So Jake's here today. We're talking fitness, talking health, kind of a overall just broad topic. We've been listening to a lot of new podcasts, a lot of new material, a lot of things have been coming up discussion wise. Kind of his take, our take. Drew, why are you in your phone already, bro? We're not even ten minutes.
Bored already.
We're gonna talk. You were a collegiate athlete, and you have.
Yeah.
He's Drew's been denying the fact that he was in shape at one point and ate. Okay, I can't say ate healthy, but
she was just
used to diet.
She just clarify the two meals Drew has had today.
Yeah.
Do you want to just tell them the restaurant?
Well, first off, you know, these guys get on their high horse and act all saintly. We just came from McDonald's.
You just came from McDonald's. Now, twice.
I had it twice today. Yeah. I'm proud of it. Okay. You guys are like, let's do a fitness podcast. I'm like, we're literally at McDonald's.
That's okay. Hey, we'll talk about cheat meals.
Someone like equilibrium. We've like restored balance.
Yeah.
We talk about fitness to get rid of the fact that we had a McDonald's.
Yeah. It's kind of a universe thing, energy thing.
It's okay.
So Jake, I don't know all of your qualifications. What? How long have you been in the fitness field? How long have you been doing consulting type work, things like that?
So I first got into PTing when I came back from traveling. So like 2017, me and six friends went traveling to Asia from January through to June. And I kind of knew before that, the whole reason why I kind of got into it is I kind of pushed myself into a corner. And I don't actually think you guys know this. So when I was going-
Wait, are we about to get, was Jake a fat baby?
Was he fat?
Was he a fat baby? Yeah. I was a fat baby.
I love when people I know.
Dude, I was a fat baby.
Luckily, I've never a fat baby now.
Okay.
All right. So going through school, didn't really do much at school. I kind of had the potential. Like, say this is like your limit. I kind of cruise around this point here, you know, just kind of swimming below the surface. That was me.
And what, like the areas of fitness or like the areas of just everything?
Kind of just everything. I was never really that good at anything. I just never really applied myself to anything. Like I enjoyed a lot of stuff, but just typically never really applied. So, and then once I got to like age 15, 16, realized I kind of liked fitness and what it kind of gave me. So I thought, well, I kind of had blown the school thing off where I didn't really have that as a backup. So I thought, this is what I enjoy, this is what I'm good at, so this is kind of the route I kind of have to take. Mm. So it was almost like I pushed myself to that, which isn't a bad thing. It kind of just meant I had to go feet first. I couldn't really test the water. I kind of just had to go straight in with it. And then whilst I was traveling, I was kind of getting into it, kind of like knowing I wanted to be a PT. And then when I came back in June, had about a month at home working, and then went straight into it from there.
And what were you doing before it?
So before it was just straight from school, did a gap year. And then went straight into PTing after that.
But what job were you, like, did you have previously fitness related
jobs? Were you like a cabana boy? At all the day clubs in London, in Manchester?
In Manchester. Yeah, we didn't really have the beaches in Manchester you're used to. Job-wise, it was more just part-time jobs. Because I stopped when I was 19. So there wasn't really ever a time. Because in the UK, it's kind of a big culture to do your like middle school to where you're like 16, do sick form when you're 17, 18. And then you either go into work, go to uni, or you go on a gap year. They're like the three things which people do. It's like a big culture to do a gap year. So I came back and then pretty much just went straight into it from there. And then that was, 18 months ago, and here we are today.
Yeah. What were your part-time jobs?
Oh, geez, wow. Start from the beginning. Yeah. Used to, first one ever, used to clean for my grandma. An hour every Sunday, £10. She made me some ham and crackers. She made me... I basically didn't really do much. I think she probably had to re-clean after me. It was that bad. She went, oh my God, Jake, it looks so clean. No, shit, all the time. It was so terrible. And I think she was too nice. So we had that, and then we did like a paper round, which was like £20 a week. That's when it was about 15 again. Then I worked at a place called Red House Farm. We did like children's birthday parties. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yeah.
What?
We had bouncy slides as like a barrel train.
You rent stuff out like from parties and stuff?
No. So like people, so we were at this place called Red House Farm, and then people come there for the kids' birthday parties, and we run the parties for them. So we'll put them on bouncy slides, put them in these little barrels with the wheels under, the tractor drags them around the field and stuff like, have like this thing called the maze, where it's like a maze made of maize. It's really good fun, climbing wall.
Oh, like corn.
Yeah, as in M-I-A.
We don't need any American word.
Corn. What do you call it? Corn. I mean, corn maize can sound quite good as maize.
Yeah, we call it corn.
Maze, is how they say it.
Maize.
Maize.
So yeah, we did Red House Farm, and then I worked in a bar. Worked in a bar for a bit, which was good fun, enjoyed that. And then worked in a call center, which was...
Were you a bartender?
Yeah, I was making the cocktails, you know.
Craigie's.
Craigie Davis.
I hadn't actually discovered Craig David at that time, no. I didn't know what Craigie was, I know. For anyone listening who doesn't know what Craig David is, two shots, one of tequila, one of pineapple juice. So you can sip of the pineapple juice, hold it in your mouth, like just cradle it. Shot tequila, swallow, gulp the pineapple juice.
Hold it in your mouth.
These two don't like tequila, and they do like Craigies.
Yeah, I can do Craigies. If I smell tequila, I throw
it. Craigies, next year.
Okay, I can do one or two of those.
Craigies. And then, yeah, probably the worst job I ever did was working in a call center. That was like one of the most soul crushing 3 months of my life. Like selling.
What are you selling?
Like selling, not selling PPI. It was like a PPI recovery. So payment protection insurance, like years ago, banks and like mortgage companies were like tax on PPI to people. And then we would essentially be like, oh, we'll claim it back for you. And it was the worst thing. Everyone, a lot of my mates did it before we went traveling because it was quite well paid at the time, but it was the most depressing thing in the world.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I come from sales and...
Oh, like, it was just...
Calling? Cold calling is, like, the worst. Like, here's a sheet. Call 300 people.
Oh, good morning, sir. Eat shit. Yeah, it's great talking to you. Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
You're reading off of a paper and you're just like...
The thing I don't understand is people won't give you their email address. Or they won't give you their date of birth. I'm like, okay, email address, fine. I can put you on a list, whatever. Your date of birth. They'll be like, okay, here's my address, here's this, here's that. Oh, so what's your date of birth? So it's like, oh, I don't know about that. I'm like, Harold, like, what are you going to do with your date of birth exactly? He's like, you never know what kids could do nowadays. I'm like, I know where you live. I could send a nail bomb to your house and you won't tell me how old you are. I'm like, why not? And he's like, nah, I don't know, people could frame me. I'm like, with your date of birth, no one cares you're 59, Harold. No one's going to do anything to you. And in the end, I just thought, no, this was just, yeah, that was the worst 3 months of my life. But it was only fun because my friends were with me.
Do you think, I think this would be a podcast in itself, but do you think that a lot of that has to do with the, like, in my opinion, I think the education system is flawed in that, like, you went through up to high school, or I don't know what.
You're like middle school.
Yeah, it's like
Redcoat school.
13 to 16.
Yeah.
Oh, 12 to 16, I think. 12 to 16.
Yeah. Where, like, well, when you, before you go to college, it's like the 4 years, is it?
5 years? We have year 7, year 8, year 9, year 10. Yeah, we have 5 years.
Before you go to college?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, I feel like kids leave high school, and we don't have to get super in-depth this, but I don't think that when you leave high school, like, people still don't have an inkling of what they know what they would want to do, just because it's like, that we're taught how to solve math problems and like impractical things. It's like, how do we better prepare people for the careers to find out what they actually want to do? Like for you, PT, for Drew being a bum, like it's like
these medical trials.
Yeah, medical
trials. Shout out Slarion.
So Drew, how'd you make your money? Oh, I get plasma taken.
Yeah, I just cut a few things off. Give me a check.
Drew, you don't like needles, you guys. Yeah, it's the worst day of my life, but I get $25 every shot.
Yeah.
What's okay. wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
I don't got like a lot of skills.
I'm not that. I'm real good at math.
Real good at math.
Oh.
But no, I totally agree with you. Because the first school I was at before I went to sixth form where, I mean, I don't know the exact statistic, but in terms of state schools for all boys, I mean, it was like one of the best in the whole of the UK. So like to get in there is like unreal. So we went, state name is free though, so that's why it's like really competitive. And when I was there, it's kind of one of them where, I don't know how you grade. Do you have like A stars and A's and B's in the US? How do you get graded?
A, B, C, D.
Yeah. So like A's the best and then yeah. So our best is A star. And the problem with that school is they kind of put a pin through the middle. If you're like a B or an A, they'll help you get to the A star because ultimately, because people don't pay to go there, they need to get the results and that's what they're good at. They are one of the best schools in the UK. So unfortunately for me, because I kind of sat more like the B, C range, naturally, like I'd probably get a B, then probably hit the C's. They're kind of like, eh. It's almost like you kind of get forgotten about to a degree, which you can't really blame them because they're one of the best schools in the UK. So it's like, they're almost like, yeah, we're not really going to help you get above that. They just kind of let you just kind of drift down.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to a different school in sixth form, they were a lot different. They were more trying to bring everyone up. But I totally agree with you. They don't teach you how to do taxes. They don't teach you how to go look for a job. They don't teach you anything outside of UCAS, which is our, imagine our road to university. That's that's kind of the thing. Like the school has up there, tunnel vision. You do your GCSEs, you do your A-levels, you then do your UCAS and you go to uni. When I was, oh, I don't want to go to uni, we're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go. And they're like, what do you mean you don't want to go to uni? Like, you should go to uni. And then I'm like, well, do I go to uni and get 50 grand worth of debt, something I'm not going to use? Like, people who do Mickey Mouse degrees in media, I'm like, you just got fucked up for 3 years and you've got nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
So I've got a third in a media degree from Derby. I'm like, wow, cool. Cool. You're going to use that one in the future.
And that's what, even too, like, look at how many degrees, unless you're like an engineer, and even then, like, I would say I used like maybe 30% of my degree, maybe 25% of me, if that. And it's, most of it was just like soft skills of being able to organize and like present and talk to people.
And like zero.
And yeah, you're not even, yours isn't even in a relevant field.
It's what did you do at uni?
Economics.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
And he ran a screen printing company.
Yeah. And I'm like, why am I here? I'm like,
and now.
And yeah, I was in a wrestling company.
And now you're a human guinea pig.
That's true.
What about the Keynesian economics of me getting my blood drawn by an 18-year-old? Doesn't even know how to like take the thing off, throw it in the red bin.
Which, and that's what, but I mean, I don't know. I think all of it eventually still leads you to where you should be. I know he doesn't believe in, I don't really believe in fate, but like, I think you do everything and it eventually takes you to the path that you should be or the place that you should be. But, and so.
Well, I just think some people will, no matter what, they'll land on their feet. Like you see, you take someone who's successful and make them homeless and they'll be in a good place in 1 month.
Yeah. It's a mindset.
Take someone who can't do anything, give them $2 million, and they'll be broke in a year.
What's the, I don't know what the statistic is for lottery winners. It's like 80% of lottery winners go broke within 5 years or something like that.
Or out of debt in some weird kind of way.
Yeah.
There's like a, I don't even know what it was, but they're talking about how they, like, they did some study, and this is the pseudoscience we're talking about. They did like a personality evaluation on like lottery winners, on a lot of these lottery winners, and they did one on like people who had like lost an arm in an accident or something, or got like paralyzed, and like the people who were paralyzed or lost an arm or like went blind or something were like so much happier than these people who won the lottery within like 2 years or something.
Yeah.
But then I think it comes down to, because obviously in my field it's a lot about like having a fixed and a growth mindset, where you can sit someone down, and this is kind of how I kind of got pushed into my demographic, where say you're doing something, you're doing photography or whatever it may be, you sit down and you do something, let's say I'm your mentor or I'm your whoever you look up to, and if I sat down and said, yeah, your work is shit, you could either look at me and be like, oh, that was mean, I guess I'm just not going to do photography anymore, and you just throw it in, and people can't take criticism that well, or you look at that and say, okay, yeah, it hurts now, but what do you think is shit? What do you think I can kind of improve on? Mm-hmm. Because when I first went into it, like naturally as a guy, your first thing is, oh, I'm going to be a bodybuilder, I'm going to train rugby players. Like, yeah, guys train guys, girl trains girls. Like that's, you think that's the stereotype of what you do. But then obviously you look at me, I'm not big at all. I don't think I ever will be. Genetically, I just couldn't ever be a mass monster. So when I first went in, the guy who was like kind of like overlooking me said, yeah, sat me down one day, he was like, yeah, Jake, you're not big enough to train dudes. And I was like, what? Because obviously that's all I thought I was going to do. I thought I'm just going to train dudes. Like, yeah, that's what I enjoy doing. And he's like, yeah, you're just not big enough to train dudes. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Like, it's kind of everything I always wanted to do. And then he's like, ah, good chat. Nice. And then he kind of like breaks it down. And I said, well, what do you think I should do? And it sounds crazy. Like, because at the time I was 20, kind of still pretty fresh, barely getting my feet sorted. And he's like, there is a lot of women in the area. The area we live in is quite fluid. There's a lot of stay-at-home mums, dads go to work, they can stay at home. Like, they've got free time. So he was like, what does every mum want when their son goes to uni? I'm like, I don't fucking know. And he's like, speak to their son. And I'm like, look at him, like, oh. And he's like, just bear with me, Jake. Just bear with me, just roll with it, just go on. I'm like, okay. And he's like, let's go on, sons go to uni. And they're like, I'm not talking to my mum. I'm gonna go get pissed, I'm gonna go meet girls. Like, I'm not gonna call home. Because that's what people do. Because I worked with mums and I know it's true, because they're like, yeah, my fucking son's not called me, and I have to call them. Like,
yeah, your mum's on my back. Just text her now, please.
And then he's saying all he wanted to do is talk to someone who was in your in their son's position. And he was like, be that person. Go and be the young guy who the mums look forward to seeing in the week to kind of replace their son. And I'm thinking, holy shit, this guy's a genius, nice. And then ever since then, my main demographic was middle-aged women. It started with my mum, started with my mum's friends. They made a little core group. Then other women came in, saw the kind of like connections they were all making. And then from there, it just evolved into me training women. I don't even really get inquiries from dudes anymore just because I don't try and target dudes anymore. It's pretty much solely based at women. But if he'd said that to me and I'd turn around and been like, oh, that sucks. Oh, I'm going to go back to the call center. I wouldn't be still PT now. I'd be in some terrible call center job.
Which, and I feel like that's true for a lot of markets though, is find your niche. It's like where do you fit?
Speaking of, we're speaking of Queen's English on this podcast, not President's English.
Niche.
Sorry.
Niche.
Niche.
Speaking. Hey, I just love this. New marketing tactic. Bumble, 30 to 45 to 50. They message you and you're like this.
See, if mine already wasn't on 18 to 80, I wouldn't do that.
I think you can tell a lot about somebody by just looking at their Bumble settings. Yeah.
100 kilometer range, 18 to 80. Like, I just think, like, you can't decline people like that. What if they're searching for me?
I think you just make a Jake Taylor.fit separate Bumble or separate Tinder and then just target them and be like, oh, yeah, this is what I do.
That could work. That could work. We were talking about it for
we could be like BBH.
Castaways Tinder.
We could be like a one-stop shop. We could be like, yo, I got these guys. I'll get you in better shape, and then they'll take your picture.
Yeah, get your new Facebook page.
We'll be
business idea.
Yeah,
business ideas.
Like, we'll call it Team Right Swipe. And it's just like...
So what's your niche in photography? I actually take Tinder photos, actually.
Yeah, Tinder photos.
Wedding photos?
Nah,
yeah, Tinder. Like profile and bios, you know.
Yeah. All the creative service.
Well, yeah, we'll get like a... Like what guys want to hear. For Bumble, and then for Tinder, it's just kind of gotta wait.
Yeah.
We'll give banter lessons.
Yeah.
Flirting lessons. Flirting lessons. Kissing booths, improving technique.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right swipe.
Right. Team right swipe.
It starts with you. And
hashtag.
Then it actually comes up.
Hashtag team right swipe.
Yeah.
Trending. Twitter.
Yeah.
So.
Fitness. That's my goal, is to try to like divert this fitness talk because.
Because Drew's not what you call health.
I ain't like real smart about it all.
You know? Well, hey, anecdotal though, because you've got better experience in
and
fitness than I do.
Especially too, from the standpoint of, I mean, I want to talk eventually about sports and like the mindset that we have versus the clients that Jake, like, coaches. What's the right word for that?
Trains, coaches. Yeah, we'll come from the same bracket.
Because we come from the, you know. I have to win and beat someone when being coached, whereas Jake is the coach or the trainer.
You're doing this?
So, yeah.
What are we doing?
Hold
on.
You're like gentleman.
I don't know if you need to hold it.
And a scholar. potentially a scholar also, Drew.
I think, and this has come up quite a bit, especially in someone that Drew and I listened to, Jordan Peterson. Him and his daughter have been doing basically an elimination diet. So they do the carnivore diet. And Ben Greenfield was recently on Joe Rogan and talked about this. The even looking at like vegans and vegetarians, it's where you're basically cutting out large portions of what a well-rounded diet should be. So I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? Like overall kind of diet? I mean, and again, I think we all kind of have the same mindset. I mean, we're traveling, so kind of do what we can, but things like that, what are your takes on it? Where do you stand on it?
So are you talking about elimination? That's like saying the veggie, the vegans, anything where you're taking out food groups.
Like carnivore, paleo.
We can swear on this podcast, yeah?
Yeah.
You have already.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just kind of like second tone for me, you know?
No, hey.
Honestly, fucking daft. Like, the best way to think of it is, would you do that to a baby or a child? No. So I think why treat, now this is coming because you're coming from a, let's say, technically, yeah, you'd say the elite standpoint, because when you guys fight and you guys wrestle, it is 24/7, it is your life. I'm on the flip side of that coin. I'm more about lifestyle. I'm working with mums and dads who don't like exercising. They don't like the thought of not being able to eat 6 pounds of butter a day. They don't like the thought of thinking, oh my God, I can't do something. So on my side of the coin, it's a lot more mental, because you're not physically, they can do it. Mentally, they've almost mistreated their body for the last 20, 30 years, and now they're trying to undo those habits, which is quite hard. Whereas for you two, I could say, okay, you're not going to drink water for the next 3 days. And you could probably do it because you cut weight before. Mm-hmm. If I said that to a middle-aged woman in the morning, I wouldn't do it because it'd be extremely bad for her. There's no way she could do it. Neither could I, because I'm not built in that way. Mm-hmm. So I just think eliminating anything is kind of, for you guys, it's different because you're mentally in the right place where you won't rebound as hard. If I said to one of my clients, okay, and at the first gym I worked in did this, they did like the sugar detox, the sugar cleanse, where they said, okay, for the first 5 days, you're gonna do, you can only eat X, Y, and Z. So they basically eliminated like 75% of the food groups, no sugar, no salt, no nothing, to like reset their body. And I'm like, you don't need to be reset. You just need to know not to eat it all day. So they would say, okay, we're gonna cut out all these things. And on the sixth day, we're gonna introduce something else, some more fruits and veg. On the next day, we're then gonna introduce something else. It's kind of like reintroducing food to the diet again, to kind of reset what they think their satiety level should be. Do you know that feeling when you kind of like, yeah, oh, I need a sugary drink, to kind of reset those kind of levels? Mm. But again, it's kind of a myth, it's all in your head. Like when I got into the habit before I got my teeth done, I was kind of having Coke every single day. And then it's weirdly, as soon as I got my teeth done, mentally I'm like, why would I have Coke every day when I just paid to do my teeth? So mentally I just said, oh, I just won't have it. And I just stopped completely. So I just think eliminating for a normal person, all it's gonna do is just an over-restriction and a binge. That's all it's gonna lead to be. Like if you say to, let's say you've got, I don't know, Fat Sally, she's 15 stone, she's overweight, she's not been anything for 20 years. Like, this kind of makes sense to what you're saying about your mum when she drinks pop or soda every day. Let's say you're drinking two cans of Coke every single day, full fat Coke, and that is one contributing reason why they have gained fat over the last 5-10 years, and they've done it every single day. If I said to her, you're never gonna eat Coke again, sorry, drink Coke again, I'm gonna say, what's the first thing you think about? She's gonna be like, well, I'm thinking about Coke. It's like, firstly, don't think about a white elephant. You think of a white elephant, don't you? So what I would say to her instead is, okay, you're having two a day, that's 14 a week. Let's have 13 this week instead. And she'd be like, is that it? And I'm like, yeah. Next week, we'll then have 12. And she'd be like, okay, cool. Next week, we'll have 11. Because when you do things small, people don't notice it. If I take it all away all at once, it's almost like taking away, it's like, almost like withdrawal. It's that like mental and physical withdrawal where, for my clients, it wouldn't work. There would be a lot of cases where they'd either have to lie to my face, which is never a fun conversation, because I'm like, right, Sally, you've not lost weight in the last week. She's like, I promise, Jake. I've stuck to it. I'm like, what about Friday? She's like, oh, I've got a blackout drink to have a kebab. I'm like, yeah, no shit. You've not changed the last 2 weeks.
So that it's almost like, Sally seems cool.
My kind of girl.
Sally seems all right.
So the thing, like, especially with, like, the carnivore diet, it's, there's a lot of different arguments. Like for a normal person, cutting anything out is gonna end terribly. It's gonna end awfully. Whereas like, the interesting, do you remember we talked about the carnivore diet where in like the Navy SEALs, again, these are more like to your end of the spectrum, they're like elite. You tell them to do anything, they will do it. Like they do not argue. Where when we're looking at the thermic effect of food, where when you have the three food groups, you've got protein, you've got fats, you've got carbs, there's gonna be a certain amount of energy needed when you eat each of them for your body to burn them and use them as fuel. Now the one which is the highest thermic effect is going to be protein. So when you eat 100 grams of chicken, 200 grams, 40% of whatever you eat has to be burned in order for it to be digested through your body. It's going to have the highest thermic effect. From what I remember, the other two, I can't remember which order they are, it goes 40 for protein, 10 for carbs, I think, and then 5 for fats. Don't quote me on the last two, the first one I know. So like in the Navy SEALs, when they go through that hell week and they're going through that really cold water and they're not really eating, they're not sleeping, they will put them on a carnivore diet because it's going to warm them up the most from the inside. That is the only scenario I can ever think where the carnivore diet makes sense. I can't think of any other reason why a normal person would need to do it. Do you know the name of the doctor who did the carnivore diet?
No, he was on Joe Rogan. He's done it for a few years. It was like controversial. He had lost his like light. He had gotten sued over something where he shouldn't have gotten sued, and they like pulled his light. It was like a really big if it's the guy I'm thinking about, he had done the carnivore diet.
He wasn't the Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
But it's almost like doing your times tables. You want to get to the number 10, there's a lot of different combinations of how you can get there. If you want to get to the number 1,000, there's a lot of combinations. I'm going to know one straight away, 1,000 times one. Someone might not understand that right away. Someone might need to do a very weird way to get there. And it's the kind of thing with fitness, like the ketogenic diet, the carnivore diet, the going veggie, going vegan, they've all got reasons why, and they all work, but it's more how sustainable are they for the person doing it. Like for me, if I'm a vegan, yeah, of course I could go vegan, but like from an ethical standpoint, that's the only reason why I'd ever do it. Mm-hmm. But would it really, would it bring me the same amount of happiness as I do now? No, I would just try and limit where I get my meats from, is it ethically sourced, or try and limit how much meat I'm actually eating, or even how much meat I'm wasting. That's more the way I would look at it. But I just think restricting anything for someone like me or my clients would just end in a disaster.
And I think too, like this is a big thing, kind of what you're saying is that, and we've talked about this a lot, that people, especially in the Western part of the world, they're not comfortable being uncomfortable, in that like so much of their lives they're used to their routines, they're used to what they eat, they're used to having, even just having access to stuff, of whether it's like, oh, I want a jar of natural peanut butter, I can go buy a jar of natural peanut butter. I can also buy these 10 different types of over-the-counter medicines and these types of bandages, and I have 10 gas stations within 2 miles of my house. It's like things like that, that when you're like, okay, you can't drink pop anymore, or like you can't, it's, they, people aren't used to being uncomfortable. It's like, and especially traveling, like you see it all the time, that you get put in situations, whether it's working out outside or having, you know, 3 dumbbells to work out with, like, or not having access to a kitchen or not being able to buy food. It's, people aren't used to living an uncomfortable lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's, sure. And how, you know, that's where growth comes from. It's how do you push yourself to be a better person? It's finding things that you're not comfortable with, whether it's your diet. I know a lot of people, one of the guys that we used to wrestle with, Tervell, that was one of the things, he went keto because he said he needed to, after he got done competing, I mean, Olympic level athlete, very, very high,
World medalist, multiple time world medalist,
I'd probably say arguably top 2 or 3 heavyweights in the history of USA wrestling. He said, you know, after he got to competing, I have to have things that are uncomfortable in my life. And it's like, I understand and I get that. It's like, we all live in a very, especially in the Western world, we live a very comfortable life, in that people complain about things and people think they have a lot of struggle, but it's like, we need more uncomfortability, because uncomfortability is where we grow, and that's where you see results. Like you're saying, I mean, it's funny, because how many people do you know that go on a vegetarian diet or go on a vegan diet or go on this diet and they go, oh, I've had the best results. Like, I've lost 50 pounds. I can run a sub 5-minute mile. And I'm like, well, what were you doing before that?
Yeah.
Like, you were eating cheeseburgers and playing video games. Like,
are we talking about the general pop here, or are we talking about Drew over here?
Well, and Big Mac today was really good. So good. Also, let this be known, Sri Lanka has Big Macs, but with chicken patties.
Big chickens. Big hot chickens.
They call them McChicken. Or no, they call them
Big McChickens.
Chicken Macs, I think.
I mean, never put
the innovative stuff here.
Which, but it's like, so, I mean, from that, it's like, yeah, how could you not get healthy? And that, oh, people swear by a diet. It's like, well, because you were living a terrible lifestyle before. Like, it's not, if you go from not running to running every day, like within a month, you're probably going to feel a lot better. Like, it's not just that, it's just that your lifestyle before was so sedentary. Like,
yeah.
I think that's one thing that people always ask when they're like, or one thing that comes to mind to me when they're like, how do you travel? And I'm like, if that's what you value, then you figure it out. Like, I make way less money than a lot of other people, but it's like, yeah, if you're making more money, then it's like, oh, then you can maybe waste more money. And you're just kind of like, oh, you know, it's, you're just kind of living in that, well, I could, but I don't need to. I don't need to save. I can go, you know, spend all this money at the bar or spend all this money eating out every day. And you just kind of like, oh, I can, because it's like, I have the money or whatever. And it's like, nope, if I do that, then I can't. For me, it's like, I have to put myself in a corner. And it's like, that's why I always say, like, for me, the best thing to happen is like, if I'm dead broke, because then it's just like, oh, I have no choice. I cannot actually do this, or I can't actually do that, to where like, I have to put myself in that corner, to where it's like, nope, now I got no other option than to do this. It's like, no, I can easily say no. It's like, when my computer was messed up,
in Sapa, and I was like, I'm not going to go out with you guys. I'm not going to do anything until it's fixed. I'm like, that's what I'm telling myself, and I promise I won't sway from that. But then when my computer is fixed and I, you know, I edit it for a little bit, it's just like, oh, you know, everything's going well. Maybe I can go out more. Maybe I can do this, you know, do these other things where it's like, oh, now these videos start piling up and now I'm super far behind because it's like everything was comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I don't have to have, I'm not setting myself deadlines. I'm not saying, you know, like, nope, this is going to happen. I have to do this. I have to do that. And that's where the rest of the stuff, it's actually easy to lose all that weight and to cut it because it's like, you don't have a choice. It's like, are you hungry? Yeah, you cannot eat. Literally, the only way you'll make weight is if you do not eat right now. It's like, oh. So, I mean, as much as it sucks, it's like, the mentally, it can be easier that way. That's why I think you see a lot of people in, you know, poor countries get, you know, they don't have access to as much stuff as, you know, Westerners do, or like let's say in wrestling or in training. It's like, yeah, they're poor, but they don't have, you know, maybe as many distractions as somebody else does who has more comfortability in their life. It's like, no, I literally, this is what I'm doing, and I have no other option than to just do this right now. And so I think for me, it's like, I have to set deadlines for myself for things. It's like, I am not going to do this until this is done. Or I want to do the thing where I write a check to an organization that I hate for like $500, and I give it to him, and I say, if this video is not finished in 2 weeks, you need to mail that.
Mail it to Knockout.
Yeah.
Knockout.
Well, I could even deal with Allegiant Airlines for anything, and I would find a way to get to the moon.
Yeah, but, and the thing, I mean, the thing is, like you're saying, like so many people, we had talked about this, the later becomes never mentality. It's like, oh, new year, new me, or whatever it is. It's like, burn the bridge. Like, if you want to do something, don't talk about it, do it. Like, whether it's fitness or like lifestyle, trap. I mean, I don't know how many times people would be like, oh, like, I wish I could travel. I'm like, I spend so much less money traveling than I did when I had a full-time career doing the corporate job. Like, and now I sacrifice things. Like, I mean, when I was doing that, I lived a very healthy lifestyle. I was outdoors. I meal prepped. I ate way cleaner. I had access to a gym. I had more resources in that retrospect. But it's like, if it's something that you want to do, then do it. And that, just like circling back to the dieting thing, it's like, so many people where they're like, oh, how did you lose weight when you were wrestling? Or like, how did you do? And I'm like, you just do it. It's a mentality. It's not a like, oh, well, like, I had this week, so maybe I'll try it next week. Or like pushing, or like, oh, I'm gonna wait my New Year's resolution. I'm like, I don't know how you guys feel, but one of my biggest pet peeves is New Year's resolutions. Like, I hate when people are like, you know what I mean?
Well, it's because they have nothing to lose if they don't.
Yeah,
they can put on themselves.
The worst thing in the world. It's like, unless something is tangible, and the thing I started doing at home is called vision board, where you'd write down, like, you'd set a time frame, whether you want to put a week, a month, whatever it is, but it has to be three things, for short, a medium, a long-term thing. And you have to make them tangible. Until you write something down, it means nothing. You just said it. No one's heard it. No one's going to see it. It's just not going to be there anymore. You say, oh, I'm not going to eat chocolate. I'm going to go to the gym every single day. 9 times out of 10, they're seriously unrealistic anyway. But the thing I saw on this board is, the annoying thing about it is, you put it up there, you put it on your wall, I have it at the end of my bed, and every morning you're going to wake up, and you're going to see that fucking piece of paper still there. Then your mom comes in, oh, what's this piece of paper? I'm like, fuck, now she's seen it, I can't even burn it, no one will know. And then your sister comes in, and I'm like, great, now everyone's fucking seen it, and now I'm going to have to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, as soon as you write something down, well, the thing I did, I put my story, I said, on Instagram, I said, hold me to this, when I get to Australia, I'm doing a skydive. But Jake, you hate heights. Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to cry. I could sell that video for a lot of money. But that's why I'm doing it, because you spend so much time just thinking like, oh, like saying later becomes never, where, I mean, my parents are like, I mean, I'm sure everyone's parents are in the same boat, where they, in their day, it's different. Like, yeah, you travel when you're younger, you kind of have a family, you have kids, it's like, oh, my life's over now, I'm going to do the same job for 40 hours a week, which is cool. Like, do me wrong, I love my parents, but neither of them would uproot their lives until at least my little sister, she'll move out in maybe like 2 or 3 years. I want them just to be like, all right, we're going to sell the house, we're going to leave. I'm like, yeah, go live somewhere else, I'll come visit you. Your free accommodation, go live somewhere cool. Like, I want them to do that, or they're just going to live in England. I'm sure most parents do. They'll just live in one place, they'll retire, and they'll just kind of like, oh, well, we're just old now, we're just going to exist. I'm like, but too many people do that, where I don't want to die thinking like, I haven't done skydive, because that is like,
I couldn't look over our seven-story balcony and not be scared. Like, the I can't even jump into water. Like, if you said jump off the water, like off this roof, I'm like, nah, don't want to. Like, that's how bad it is. But it's not. But then the way I'm just playing is like, yeah, okay, if I die doing it, like, it's a pretty cool way to die.
But I'll be like, out.
Yeah, but if I'm gonna die, like, I don't want to. Yeah, it's like, oh, if dad doing a skydive is pretty cool. Walk up the big man and be like, yeah, nice one. My guy. My guy.
Well, then you come slipping.
All right. Yeah. You're like, that's what's up.
Well, and too, like, that's what we joke about a bit. Like, the one guy who, he was like an ultra marathon runner, but he ate McDonald's and he died at like 40. And then there was a guy that lived to be like 110 who drank 5 beers every night. Like, so this doesn't necessarily like correlate. And that's, I mean, this is just one facet of one giant industry that is fitness and lifestyle and health. But it's the diet to me, it's like, it's just one more thing that you don't have to worry about as much. Like, okay, I can cross that off. Now I can focus on training or like whatever it is that, that you may, even when you're doing all the right things, things may not go your way, but it's, how do I ensure that I'm doing the right things to make myself better? And one of the things that Jordan Peterson says is the you are what you are currently plus what the potential of what you could become. And I think that's one aspect of like that potential of what you could become could be, you know, reading that one book a month, or whether it's for mental capacity, maybe it's going to the gym 2 times more a month for your physical capacity, maybe it's dieting or meal prepping or whatever it is, it's how do you continue to focus on growing?
Yeah. But then that's what life is, where, like in the gym, like it all goes through like stages. It's like you get stress, you get the stimuli, you get the response, and then you come out the end of it, you kind of get bigger, you get better, you get faster, whatever it is you're trying to do. Like, you want to build a bicep, you have to put stress through it. That's going to be your stimuli. Your body's going to be like, holy shit, that hurt. Then your body's going to respond to that by saying, okay, so it doesn't hurt as much next time, we're going to adapt. Like in life, if you go through a very cushy life, which isn't bad, like if people have cushy lives, that's fine. But I know a lot of people who have had a lot given to them and they don't really understand how the whole like life, like I don't, I'm only 21, but they don't really understand how the life thing works because they've never had to adapt to any situation. Whereas for me, when I was like, okay, well, you've been kicked out of school, I'm like, oh, shit. What can I do now? I can't really ask my mum for help. I'm 18, like, I kind of got to respond in some kind of way. And then when you come traveling, like, when you get injured, when you do, something goes wrong, it's like, okay, how do I adapt? So people don't have those kind of life experiences. They just kind of go to work, they wake up, and they just kind of flow through life. And like what you were saying about the, about like cutting weight and stuff like that, that's like the other complete severe end of the spectrum, where it's like, it's extreme starvation, essentially, isn't it? And dehydration, that's what cutting weight is. I mean, that could be totally wrong. I mean, I don't know if you want to explain cutting weight.
No, it is. I mean, there's good, better ways to do it than others and to bring it down quicker. But yeah, I mean, like that ends up happening.
That's the basics.
A lot of it. Yeah. It's not the best way to do it, but sometimes that's the only way to do it. Like, take diet as much as you can, and then at the end, you just got to get that last, whatever, however much off.
Yeah.
Depends.
Did you ever use supplements to like
I did the eat one small thing every 4 hours,
yeah,
and then eat dinner. Yeah. And in college I did that and it worked really well, and that would get, I would start the week at like 155, that would get me to like 48 by Friday, and then I'd cut the last 7, like that, maybe like all day Friday, and then into or whatever it's day before the rest of the
year. I know a guy in high school, Andy Miller, I think was his name. He used hydroxycut. You ever, like, do you, have you heard of that? It's like a fat, like one of those, like,
is this
hydroxycut 1 month, lose 20 pounds.
Oh, this is where it sucks. It sucks water from all your cells, doesn't it?
Some, and it's like a fat, it's supposed to be a fat burner, but like he would come in and he'd just be super amped, like, I'm like sprinting around, like, I'm like,
was it on your team?
Yeah, it was in high school. And that's what I didn't really cut a lot of weight in high school, and I didn't really know what I was doing realistically, like from fitness or like anything in general, dieting. Like a lot of what I learned was when I got to UNK, and it's where I met Drew, and it's like that I started to learn that, and then actually started researching, like, okay, how does your body work, and like what are the functions of, okay, I'm cutting calories out of my diet, and I'm still continuing to work out. Technically, what is that doing? Well, I'm losing weight, but is it true weight? Kind of things like you talk about with your clients that we've talked about in the past of like, well, you're losing weight, but is it a fat thing? Like, or is it?
You can lose 9 pounds in a day, and then you will gain 9 pounds in fat the next day, if not more.
I mean, I've had a piss in the morning before, and I've lost 4 pounds. I mean, Joe, you wake up, you're like, oh my God, you're in the toilet, you're like, woo! And you're like, what the hell are you doing in there? I'm like, yeah, someone left a tap on, mum. Yeah. And then you weigh, and I'm like, well, I've not just metabolized 4 pounds of fat. Like, yeah. It's not possible. So it's like, for you, wrestlers don't need to cut fat. Well, provided, depends what, like, wrestling isn't about what you look like. It's like performance, obviously. So performance and aesthetics are like, almost conflicting to a degree, because as aesthetics get better, performance go down. So it's almost like, so performance, wait, no, yeah, that way. Wait, what? Yeah. So as aesthetics go up, your performance is gonna go down, because the leaner you get, like if you look at a men's physique athlete, the day they step on stage is the day they're gonna perform their worst. They can't even get an erection, like their body is so depleted. Mm. But then you look at like the day wrestlers perform, you wanna be peaking. The day a CrossFit performs, that's gonna be the best day they're gonna perform. Mm-hmm. In their entire life, well, that's what they're hoping anyway. Whereas a bodybuilder's just trying to look the best, like.
Yeah.
So that's where for you, like, weight is, you just want to lose weight, which could be water, it could be glycogen, which is just stored energy from your muscle. Whereas for like my clients, it's like someone can not change weight and they can look totally different.
Yeah.
Whereas like you can have like an 80 kilo female who's primarily fat, or an 80 kilo who's a lot taller and a lot more muscular, like an athletic woman. Mm-hmm. And they can look totally different, but they weigh the exact same. Mm. So that's why I kind of like my field. It's like scales don't really mean much. When women are like, oh my God, I'm on the scales. And I'm like, oh, well, what time of your month are you in? Are you in week one, week two, week three, or week four of your menstrual cycle? They're like, oh, I'm in week three. I'm like, well, cool. Your estrogen's just dipped. You've missed your testosterone spike. Your progesterone's gone up. Your body's getting ready to have a baby. Do you think your body wants to go to the gym? Do you think your body's getting ready to perform? She's like, oh, well, no, I didn't think of it like that. I'm like, well, that's kind of what's going on. Whereas for men, it's like, it's not going to fluctuate as much, but for women, it fluctuates all the time. If you're looking at a woman, even like fighters who are in the first 2 weeks to within their follicular phase compared to the last two, when they're in the luteal phase, they're in two different physiological states. They're not the same person anymore. You have to compare week one of one month to week one of the next month to actually truly see how their weight fluctuates, which is why when you get like a middle-aged woman who's never really exercised, never really been to the gym, had three kids, whatever, her hormones are up and down. Like, you can imagine how hard it is for them to get their head around, oh, so this is actually relatively simple, but they think it's a lot more complicated. Because naturally, like, if you ask any of your parents, they'll be like, oh, well, I'm just going on the scales, and they'll tell me how much I weigh. I'm like, scales don't really tell you the full story, unless it's for you where you have to weigh.
Which you
gotta
go like, 3 kilos to
qualify
to wrestle.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly.
Then you want to gain as much weight as you can before you actually wrestle.
Yeah. So yeah. It's just kind of like two kind of conflicting things, isn't it? Because obviously yours is about performing the best, whereas on the flip side, my side is more like trying to look the best you can, whilst what you weigh is kind of like, it don't really matter. Have as little fat as possible and as much muscle as possible. That's kind of what you want to go for. Should we pull some lights on?
Yeah, we might want to do that.
Yeah. Uh-oh, the energy bill's going up.
Yeah, we gotta. This is the weirdest Airbnb.
Yeah, the guy told us that we have to pay for electricity.
The first time I've ever been told.
So we're all taking showers together and whatnot. I don't think we have to pay water, but I convinced him of that.
Yeah, him got poo together as well.
We just kind of let us have it. Put it in the toilet and then flush it once a day.
We get one flush a day, boys.
Like, I've never heard of that in an Airbnb. Apart from my dad making jokes about electricity bills. I've never once been charged separately to use electricity. Yeah. I've never once left so many lights off in all my life.
Yeah.
Usually it's like black wall illumination in my house.
Yeah. So what's your, and I'm speaking from this, at least I mean, in college, I used to take a lot of like pre-workouts. I used to take protein. I used to do like weight loss shakes and stuff
Lost with the shake.
This is Dimitri, the wrestler.
No, it's Islam.
Abitov.
He came from. Was he from Kyrgyzstan?
Yeah.
He wrestled 165. I was wrestling 197. And he'd come up to me, he'd go, Galina, right before a duel, you want to switch single? And I'm like, Islam, you're like a foot shorter than me, man.
It's so tight.
He'd always pull it down, and I'm like, it's like, what is your size?
And like international wrestlers wear really baggy singlets, yeah, and we wear
like tights,
super
tight.
Yeah,
yeah. It's so funny because like
I cannot breathe. I cannot breathe.
Lima, give me your singlet. Like
why?
That guy would cut weight by stretching.
Yeah.
He just put on a bunch of sweats and then go down and stretch for like, I don't even know how long, hour and a half.
He would
come up and just be sweating like crazy.
But
how do you do that?
Oh, he's so tough. He took down Robert Kokesh twice.
Yeah.
And then Kokesh pinned him, but took him down twice. Because he was also really lazy. Like, he would hit like two takedowns,
like,
and then he'd just give up.
He just wrestled like he's from Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah. He was a freestyle. He was there. He did
different.
Yeah. Like, whereas, like, American folk style is like, go, 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 go. Like,
well, and yeah, we're the most in shape country.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily have to be in shape to be
the best.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the best shape.
Yeah.
Cannot breathe.
I cannot breathe.
Lina, give me your singlet.
Lina, give me a singlet. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't vodka, bro. Why you always say, I have vodka? Come on, man.
I felt bad for him because he's Muslim, and during Ramadan, you can only eat.
That was very culturally insensitive.
I don't know.
I think, yeah, I think it's Ramadan.
I don't know.
You can only eat at night?
I mean, coming from World War I, I've heard.
Well, during Nebraska winters, it's not. Anyway, you can only eat during the day. No, you can only eat during the day.
It's before sunrise and after sunset, I think.
Well, whatever it was,
in between sunset
and
sunrise,
he would not be able to eat.
I think. Don't quote me on that. I think.
I don't know. For whatever it was, he couldn't eat when like you
can't drink
eat
either.
For
you can't drink either.
Yeah, and so he was like, he would come and do sprints and go through our workouts, and he just has nothing in his body.
Yeah.
Oh man, I feel. He'd just be like dragging. I'm like, oh, dang,
that's just
sucks.
Yeah,
that was not ideal for somebody to train.
Yeah, like to try and compete at a high level.
Because intermittent fasting is you can only eat for 8 hours, right? And you can't eat for...
Well, but it could be any... You pick the range.
It's usually 16-8 is what you'd say.
16-8.
Usually be between midday and 8 p.m. Like, if you're going to ask someone...
I think I could do it.
It'd probably be between... 9 times out of 10, it's between 12 and 8. But it's essentially a fast.
Well, and that's what the...
I'd like to try that.
They talk about...
I slept on noon day every day.
Well, but they were talking about...
you probably do it for a fast.
Maybe that's how I stay skinny. And he's like, yeah, I don't know.
Just, what'd you eat today? Nothing. But JRE talks about it with Ronald Patrick and with basically any of the nutritionists. They talk about intermittent fasting. And I don't know if that's like a big
kick right
now. There's so many different things. I don't know. Like, you hear all the, you should do this. And then like a little bit later, it's like, yeah, that's really bad for you. I'm like,
I mean,
does anyone know? I'm gonna be like this. I'm gonna keep eating McDonald's and Taco Bell until you really figure it out. It's like, I'm hearing a bunch of theories rolling around. I'm not gonna jump on the team quite yet. I'm gonna ride this one out.
Well, they say that intermittent fasting, and this is my understanding of it, is that basically back in the day when we were like more primitive, there were periods of times where we wouldn't have food when there was a scarcity of food sources, and your body had to learn to regenerate, whether it's your muscle or like your brain function, without having a lot of nutrition based, like you wouldn't have food, you wouldn't have water. So your body has regenerative processes when you're in that state. And so I feel like that's kind of the concept of keto, but then on top of that you see all these people that do like Ben Greenfield was talking about, once a quarter, he'll do a full 24-hour day fast. So Saturday night dinner to Sunday night dinner, he won't eat. So like he'll...
Tim Ferriss is 3 days a month, no food, only liquid, because he said it like flushes out all the whatever it is that like cancer maybe feeds off of. It flushes your whole system of it every month.
Too interesting.
Literally no idea what's going on there, but man, yeah. I heard him say it on a podcast where it's like, yeah, 3 days every month, he doesn't eat for 3 days. It's just juice, I think.
It's
like it's supposed to like flush your system of a lot of...
I think
that's what he's
what yeah there's kind of a few things like fasting yeah it comes back to the uncomfortability thing where we like back in the day we would have to get up middle of the night where the animals just sleeping, we'd have to go and kill them. We'd have to eat, we just go to Sainsbury's or we go to Tesco or Walmart wherever. Yeah. We don't have the necessity, we're hungry, 24-hour supermarket, there's a drive-thru over the road.
Yeah.
So
There's a guy called Martin McDonald. Have you ever heard of him from the UK? Mm-hmm. Like, really, like, he's, like, huge. He does a thing on MNU, like, a nutrition course. Really, like, unbelievably smart guy, like, crazy smart. And he does a similar thing to that where he won't eat. I think he does, I don't know how many days he does in a year, where he won't eat for 24 hours or 48 hours or drink. And he doesn't do it to say, you'll see a lot of things online, like, oh, it improves your cognitive ability. Oh, it makes you sharper. And it's like, but then it comes back to, like, when the vegetarians, like, oh, with veggie, I've never felt better. I'm like, you've gone from a lot of calorie dense foods to a lot of low nutrient dense foods, and you're now not eating in the morning. You've now cut out your McDonald's breakfast and your brain feels clearer. Yeah, I wonder why that is. Yeah, you're now not eating shit. You're just now eating proper things between 8 hours. So the reason why he says he does it is to reset what he believes being hungry is. Because, like, now we just eat it, but if you said, do you want to get food? I'm like, yeah, I could eat.
Yeah.
Or I won't eat for 2 hours. I'm like, oh, I'm starving. I'm not. If I was starving, I'd be dying. That's what starving is. So the only reason why he does it is to kind of almost like train himself to realize, okay, am I eating because I know I can eat? Am I eating because I've just driven past something? Like when we went past Taco Bell earlier, you're probably like, oh, I could have Taco Bell. But you're not, your body isn't hungry. You could just eat it.
Yeah.
So he's almost saying like how to reset your body to actually know when it's starving and when it's not. And that's why he kind of does it. And then the thing about Tim Ferriss, he's written a book, hasn't he?
Yeah, 4-Hour Body.
4-Hour Work Week.
4-Hour Body, 4-Hour Chef.
Really, really, really good book. I mean, this is when you get like the juice cleanse things where people think you need to take like juices to like cleanse the toxins out of your body. I mean, we have organs that have been doing it for the last however many years we've been alive. That's what organs are there for. So it's like, but then it comes down to it again. If you have a really, really shit diet and then you go and have a load of ginger, you go a load of nutrients, micronutrients, and you feel amazing. Again, of course you feel amazing. You've not had vitamins and minerals for the last 6 years of your life. So that's why when he's talking about like getting rid of stuff out of his body, it's when people go from a diet which doesn't have a lot of nutrients in or isn't very nutrient dense, and then they go to something where they're just eating fruit and veg for 3 days. It's like, yeah, of course you feel good. Mm-hmm. You're not eating McDonald's for 3 days. You're not eating burgers for 3 days. You're not doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And not because McDonald's and burgers are bad. It's more thinking, eating them too much is bad. If you're having like a nutrient dense diet, 80% nutrient dense, the last 20%, if you want to fill that in with foods like McDonald's or whatever it is, that's kind of where like my approach would sit, where I think, okay, you've got 2000 calories for the day, Matt. You've hit your protein, you've hit your fiber, you've hit this, that, and the other. And those 2000 calories are going to allow you to lose fat over the course of the week. And you've got 200 calories left. I'm like, cool, go have half a Dairy Milk bar. Or go for a full Dairy Milk bar and save yourself the other 26 calories for tomorrow, you would still achieve your fat loss. Is a chocolate bar going to add time onto your life? No, probably not. Is it going to take it off? Nah, probably not either. So it kind of comes back to like, is it suitable for a normal person or is it suitable for like someone of your kind of mindset where you can eliminate everything quite easily? That's kind of like my take on the Tim Ferriss thing.
Which it's, too, I don't know if you felt like this, like, I mean, I think people say calories are calories. Like, I know a Nick, one of our buddies that we wrestled with in college, he would always have like a Dr. Pepper before he'd come into practice, or like he's a big soda drinker. And like, to me, when I was cutting weight, I was like, I don't necessarily think this is the right mindset, but I'm like, I can't have burnt food. Like, I have to eat clean all week, and I'm gonna work out, and I'm gonna cut my calories, and I'm gonna restrict this way, and then this is how I'm gonna do it. Whereas like, I know people that would lose weight because they just have a Snickers every 3 hours. Like instead, they're doing the calorie limiting, but they're not, their body's still, and I mean, again, we're talking 18 to 21 year old athletes here that they're processing and burning a ton of food. I mean, we're working out 2 to 4 hours a day, every day, like multiple workouts a day. So it's, I mean, I think your body burns through it. But for me, I was almost like, just very like overly strict that I couldn't do that. Not only did I not like it, but just for me, like I think it was a mental thing that not necessarily physically would it affect me as much, but in my head I would get like in my own head against myself to say like, oh, you had a pop, like this is why you're not feeling great at practice today. Like it was kind of one of those things where I wanted to eliminate any, like if I had a bad day at practice, I'm like, I had a bad day because I had a bad day. It wasn't because of my diet. It wasn't because I was sick. Like it was something out of my control. Because I was a, like, control the things you can, and then when you can't, it's like, well, like, I tore my knee out, or whatever it was, it's like, well, I couldn't have controlled that. But if it was, oh, I didn't make weight, or oh, I feel sluggish at practice today, it's like, okay, well, you missed this meal. And like, that's what is leading you to this. Like, control things you can. And I don't know how, I mean, I don't know what your diet was, but.
And college is a lot better than high school. It's so bad.
Frozen burritos.
Oh, terrible. Like, after weigh-ins, like, early, like, freshman, sophomore year, first thing I would eat, I'd drink a cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper.
That is the most American thing I've
so
ever heard.
And then I would eat graham crackers with frosting. There was one, and it changed after there was one match. I wouldn't drink Gatorade. I would just like, I'd have some water, and then I would have like water, and like, it was so bad. I was like, no, cut my all this weight. Like, I'm gonna enjoy myself. And then I had a match where, after the first period, for like 2 minutes, I could not move. And I was like 1 point from Tekken. So about 14 points, I laid on my stomach the rest of the match. And he was just, I was making like stalling calls because I couldn't move. I couldn't even get up to shake his hand after the match. I just like did that and I won, but I just put down and shook my hand, and I raised it and I crawled to the side and I laid there for about 30 minutes. And then my coach's wife came over and she's like, Drew, what are you drinking after weigh-ins? Because she's like, your body, like, you're in good shape. You're not in good shape. It's what your diet is so bad. She's like, do you drink Gatorade? And I go, no, I do none of that. She's like, no, this is what you're gonna do. She's like, I should went and bought me Gatorade. She's like, you're gonna drink this Gatorade. She's like, that's all, like, that's what you, like, you need to put electrolytes back in your body. You need to start putting the right things in your body, because it was just like, oh yeah, like, I could feel it. I was like, I was hurting so bad. Cause I cut so much weight, and I was just like, and so then I kind of learned lessons that way. And then college was like, I can't cut weight and go to practice week, cause it's not high school, it's college. Everyone in the room is really good, and you're essentially fighting grown men every day. And now they're not kids, and they're not kids who don't exactly maybe know what they're doing that much. So it's like, okay, I'm actually gonna diet, and I did the right things. Not perfect, but I was like, okay, I need to figure this out. I did what I thought was a good idea, and I wasn't putting like really bad stuff in. I'd do like chicken and pasta like most nights just for energy. And I was like, I would always have steak or chicken, and then it was like small like granola bars throughout the day. And like fruit. I'd eat like one banana every morning, then I'd eat like a Snicker bar 4 hours later, and then I'd eat, or not Snicker, but like a,
you start off so well.
Like a Power Bar.
Yeah, have some fruit in the morning.
It'd be like a Power Bar or like a Cliff Bar, and then I would like 4 hours, and then dinner. It would be like protein and carbs, which I now know carbs are the best. But then I thought they were like, oh, pasta, that's what runners are.
Two kind of things, like, that kind of leads on from the over restriction and the binge, because obviously as a fighter, like, it's like, how much, like, for me to tell a middle-aged woman not to drink Coke throughout the week, not because Coke's killing her, just from a calorie point of view. Let's say she hates Diet Coke, she only wants the full fat, I'm like, okay, well, that's gonna be 141 calories a can. Like, if you want it, that's cool, but it's coming off your daily total. That's like non-negotiable, that's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So like, that level of restriction is different to what you were doing. You were starving yourselves.
Yeah.
So like, it's almost thinking like, if you looked at all the calories you had, let's say you're doing, how long did you cut weight for, like a week?
Yeah, every
week.
I'd start like on Monday.
So let's say you have Monday to Monday or whatever. So count the calories up you're having throughout the week. So if you looked at like a weekly total, which is what I do instead of a daily one, if you actually added up what you ate when you were starving, and then when you ate when you binged, like, your stomach is shrinking. Your stomach in that week is going like this, it's constricting. So if you had an anorexic person, and you gave them a normal meal, they would be in a very similar position to what you were doing, because obviously you weren't anorexic, but in comparison, your meal was so big and just grotesque, it just killed you. Yeah. Like, it's like if someone shrunk their stomach that much, and then they ate all that food at once, the stomach's just like, nah, fuck this. You've not used us for the last week. You've not been for the last week. Nah, we're not doing this.
And I mean, that's the typical thing that, like, you go, whether it's college or high school, like, you go and you cut all this weight, and then Sunday, you binge eat.
Yeah, like, all day Saturday. From when you weigh in, you just rice
your food
just
all day Sunday too. Binge.
Which is, but that's what people do with their foods. People don't drink all week, and then go out on Friday night and get absolutely shit-faced, and then it's like, yeah, like, it's cool, but people don't see drinking in the same way. But with a diet, it's a lot more demonized, which is weird, because no one thinks, oh, I drank on a Friday night, it's binge.
Yeah.
Whereas with the diets, people beat themselves up and they're like, oh, well, I had a binge, it's all over. I'm like, you don't think about that with your money. You don't think about that with your booze. You save up all year, you go away on one holiday and spend $3,000. You don't bat an eyelid at that.
why do you think it's all ruined that you just had a cheat meal, Sarah?
Yeah.
Even though I don't condone cheat meals in a sense, because I think you shouldn't feel the need to cheat from something. It's like, if you have a girlfriend and you're thinking, oh shit, she's hot, you're probably a girlfriend for the wrong reason. Like, if you have a diet and you're thinking, oh, when can I cheat? It's probably not the right diet for you. It's the same, like, say, same with girls, same with anything. If you're looking at cheating on something straight away, you're probably looking, and if you said, Jake, you're never going to eat bread again, you're never going to eat pasta, I'd be like, so when do I get to eat pasta again? But if you said, okay, we're just going to moderate what we're eating, not because carbs are bad, just from a calorie point of view. If you said, you're eating way too much pasta, Jake, your calories are too high, we're going to minimize it, I could be like, yeah, I could do with that, I can live with that. But then if you said, you're never going to eat it again, I'd be like, motherfucker, what's spaghetti bolognese?
Well, that's, and it's a mindset.
Taylor, spaghetti bolognese, good stuff.
Like, the mindset of, like, I can't have something again, like, or the relationship you have with, whether it's food or people, it's like, if your mindset is like, oh, I can't, like, I'm going to eliminate this, and then all you think about is that, like, then it's probably not the right thing for you. Like you're saying, like, we came from that mindset of, all I have to do is wait 6 days. Like, I can do anything for 6 days. I just have to wait till Sunday, and then I will eat three Taco Bell meals.
I'll be happy one day a week.
Yeah.
And then Monday started again. Just...
Yeah, it's and it's not sustainable. I mean, that's the big thing. Is
yeah, but you should. I don't think you should really cut that much weight, Chris.
Oh no, that's
like that's a whole other topic.
We got a lot to talk about, so, but two from the standpoint of, I mean, for us, like if you had been training us when we were in college, like to me, there's not really an option for cheap. Like it's like Sunday, I'm gonna binge eat, and I'm gonna be 20 pounds over on Monday. So you're gonna have to deal with that, Jake. And then, but then it's like, okay, now Monday I'm back to, I have to like do 10 sets of power cleans and I have to do, then we're drilling for an hour on Monday morning and then I'm running Monday night because I'm doing a swim workout on Tuesday night or like whatever, like versus more, I don't want to say regular, like normal people, like, cause now yeah, we're that.
It's just general population yeah. people. But yeah, you could call them normal people cause that's what they are. They're not in the category of being morbidly obese, they're not in hospital, they're not elite low athletes, just normal human beings. But that's kind of the problem where the normal human being nowadays is classified as being overweight. Mm-hmm. Like we have such a, like I know America's the same as the UK obesity epidemic. Again, I'm not gonna quote the figure, but it was scary. Like I can't remember what it was it 60% where 60% of UK citizens were classified as being overweight. Now, I'm not agreeing with the whole government standards because the government guidelines are just horseshit.
Oh, yeah. And BMI.
Like, oh, the BMI thing's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. You have a rugby player, some of the fittest human beings on the planet. Oh, you're morbidly obese. I'm obese. So what? Just because I'm short, Drew would be obese because he's short. Mm-hmm. You'd probably be obese because you're tall and you're heavy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's not a metric. Like when you have a nurse who's overweight herself telling you you're obese, I'm like, thanks, Susan. Thank you. Thank you for your advice. I'll take that on board.
F off, Susan.
Yeah. Eat shit.
Why is it Susan? Susan and Sally.
Sally.
Now we're just one set.
Cool.
I'm gonna not out of Fat Sally.
It's like Fat Amy.
It's only because I have no clients called Susan or Sally, so I can feel safe. They go like, I'm not gonna say their names. I'm like, oh my god, you said
well,
my name.
See, but then too, I mean, like, so I used to think this, and I think this applies to coaching and PT and anything that. Like, I used to see, like, a PT in a gym, and when I was in shape, I'd be like, I'm bigger than you. Like, why would I take advice from you? And kind of the same thing with, like, coaching. Like, once I had the ability to start taking down my coaches, I was like, in my head, at first, I was like, what are you guys going to teach me? And I'm like, hold on a sec. Like, it was kind of one of those, like, Bo Burnham moments where it's like, I'm a 17-year-old idiot. Like, who am I? Like, these guys have been wrestling for, like,
and it's like, you take him down one time, you're like, oh, I can beat this guy. And I'm like, yeah, you remember the 8 other times he took you down right before this? Like,
he made you like a nap on the floor.
And it's also like, he's not in shape.
Yep.
He's not training. You know, like, that whole thing where it's just like, oh, yeah. Like, you just kind of see it from your point of view. And like, yeah, like, he's probably not even going that hard.
Yeah.
No.
In reality, you're saying, you know, you pussy. But it's like, I think that's probably the same way with a lot of others. Like, no, well, they still know a lot.
Yeah.
Then that's the thing, like, especially in the PT world, people think if you look good, you're a good PT. And I'm like, there is a lot of good-looking PTs who either make no money or are really shit at their job. Because you think some people, I know people who just look at a dumbbell and they get bigger. I know people who just don't ever diet. They don't ever look at what they're looking at, and they'll have a six pack all year round. And I'm like, that's cool. That's you. That's not me. Yeah. But it's like, especially in like my realm, especially as your coach's realm as well, like, knowing something is one thing. Knowing how to teach someone it is a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. If you can, because you've got to think, us talking together, we all know probably a baseline of similar stuff where we're not looking at zero. You're going to have someone who doesn't enjoy doing what you're trying to teach them. They don't know anything. It's like someone trying to teach me Russian. Like, it would probably be painful for them to teach me. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel like a coach, when you're coach, oh, I can take them down. It's like, there's so much more behind closed doors, like how they actually relate to you. Like, can they teach you something without coming off as a dickhead? Because some people can't. Mm-hmm. Can they actually help you learn something, come in and do something technical, where them looking in shape doesn't mean they know how to get someone else in shape, which is kind of the misconception people have. Like the amount of girls you see, oh, I'm an online coach, but I've just got a big bum. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure some guys have good bums. That doesn't make them legally qualified to give away booty advice. Like, yeah. You're just born with a nice ass. If girls are born with big boobs, are they able to do boob surgery? No. A guy's a six-pack, can he be a PT? Can he be a doctor? No, like, it's... But then people see that as... You should practice what you preach, but I'm sure at one point your coaches were beasts. That's why they're now coaches. They're probably very smart, they're probably very fit.
Oh, so they know a ton, too.
They know a lot. Because causation is...
Well, I know we're not going to say any names, but I know a lot of wrestlers who are very good wrestlers...
That are bad coaches.
They are either a bad coach or would be a terrible coach.
But again,
and it's like you see him at certain places teaching, you're like,
but then you never
really. It's like, well, I kind of just do it like that. I'm like, yeah, because your vertical and your explosiveness is like it's insane. Like these kids don't have that.
Yeah.
Like what works for you and why you were so good, like, is not going to work for this kid. And so, but then you get like what you're saying. It's like, oh, he was this thing. It's like, yeah, guy can't explain anything.
No.
But cannot then he really cannot.
Because some people can just look at football and be good.
Yeah.
Some people need to do it every single day of their life and they'll still be pretty average.
Yeah.
Like for me with sports, like, yeah, I could play sports, but I was never like, oh my God, Jake's good at this, Jake's good at that sport, which is kind of why going into the gym world was what I kind of enjoyed and was good at. I was interested in it. Whereas there's people who just kick football at age 3 and it's like, oh yeah, you're going to play in the Prem. Like, yeah, you're pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like some wrestlers like that coach probably just straight away got it off the bat and he would have been an amazing wrestler. And then he kind of has this fix in his head like, oh, I'm a really good wrestler, so I'm a really good coach. It's like, no, not really. Because he's never had to learn anything. He's just known it. So it's like, unless you've learned it, how can you teach it to someone? Yeah. Which is my kind of thing. If you just know something, it's very hard for you to effectively teach something to it. You have to go through it yourself because then you're like, oh, well, like there's a guy called Drew Manning. He's an American. The Fit to Fat to Fit guy.
Was it? You show me.
Yeah. So this is basically a guy where you might not know Google him. He's, he wasn't a PT. He was he might be a doctor, Dr. Drew Manning or something. Where he was always in shape his whole life, never been out of shape, always played sports, wrestling, NFL, super, super in shape dude. And he basically gained 60 pounds on purpose to feel what his clients were going through because he had never been out of shape. He's never had to try to be in shape. Mm. He's always been amazing at this, amazing at that, six pack, whatever it may be. And he's dealing with all these fat people who are like, yeah, we're going through these troubles. Like, what do you mean you go through those troubles? Like, no, you're not going through these problems. And he's like, yeah, we are, but he's never had the feeling of not being able to tie his laces. He's never had the feeling of sitting on the toilet having a poo and getting up and being out of breath. He's never had to go through anything like that, which most people don't. So he gained 60 pounds on purpose, got completely out of shape, stopped training for 6 months, ate McDonald's every day for 6 months, and never didn't look at anything. And he said that, yeah, he couldn't even see his dick for 6 months. He couldn't tie his shoelaces, his wife had to do it for him. Like, he rebounded so hard from being in shape. He just said, yeah, I was just a fat piece of shit for 6 months. He did it on purpose. And then still carried on being a doctor or whatever. And then over the next 6 months, he then tried it again. And he was like, I've never gone on a walk and my knees hurt. I've never gone on a 5 minute walk up the stairs and feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack. Like, he'd never felt those struggles. So then when he came out the other end, so 60 pounds up, 60 pounds down, he was like, the reason why I'm better now is because I know what they're feeling. When they're talking about, oh, I just can't resist that temptation, but trust me, I've been there. This is how you get around it. Rather than saying, no, you need to eat chicken, rice, and broccoli. If I do it, you do it. He was more, he understood what they were going through because he'd gone down the same road, so he knew how to help them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was incredible. He was maybe on Was it the Biggest Loser he maybe presented, like a guest show? Do you know the show where you have a really skinny person, yeah, a really overweight person, the two tubes? I think he went on as like a guest. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Or the Biggest Winner or the Biggest Loser, where...
It was the Biggest Loser, but I don't think it was skinny.
Maybe I've mixed two shows. Maybe let's talk about the biggest Loser, where it's a load of people and it's like, yeah, who loses the most. Yeah. I think he was like a guest speaker on that, and everyone looks at him like, well, like no one knew who he was. They're like, well, you're in shape, like, what do you have to do? And then he showed a picture of him and they were like, holy shit. And he was like, yeah, I was you on purpose, not by accident, on purpose. And they were like, why would you do it? And he was like explaining to them, like, I know everything you go through. Not to say like, oh, well, if I, not to kind of like rub it in their faces, but kind of show them like, yeah, I know it's hard, but this is how you're going to best get around what you're trying to do. And yeah, it's just fascinating because to my knowledge, I don't think anyone else has done that.
I bet those 6 months were super fun. Like, just...
become fat bastard off Austin Powers.
I'm moving.
Like, I don't know, it's one of them where, but mentally... Have it stopped?
No, I think we're good. I think we're good. Oh. Maybe. It says the maximum recording is 60 minutes.
16?
60.
Have we gone over 60? Is that stopped?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where we're at.
We've been going for... Yeah, we've been going for...
So that stopped.
That's okay. What time is it?
It's probably been almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Shit.
I'll look at. I was gonna say the last thing. I'm gonna look at how long we've been recording because I don't. This doesn't even.
That's been so good.
Yeah. Take a. We'll just look at the
first time podcast problems.
Hour 21.
Hey, that's not bad.
Are we wrapping it up.
Noise. No fart.
No, I mean we got time. I was gonna say what.
Hey, should we, from your, speaking of health, should we...
From your perspective, what,
A bit of diesel?
Maybe kick me even off? So that's pretty much gone.
What would be your, if we're talking general pop here, your word of advice from your experience in working with the clients that you work with, what would you say, like, what's the thing that's going to impact people's lives and help them the most in that? Like, starting right now, what can someone do from your perspective to change their lives? Because again, I mean, for us, I think it's like, Drew's talked about fat shaming. Drew, I mean, whatever it is, it's like, we're gonna hold each other more so accountable and we're gonna do the things that we need to do just because of the backgrounds we've had from the standpoint of, like, if I started gaining weight and my pants started fitting tight.
Oh, like the picture I saw on Instagram story of it.
Yes. Got love handles?
You do have love handles, right? Yeah.
Hey, yes. Hey, look at this. I'm working on that.
Look at
dad.
This. Look at this. Piece of shit.
But you. From the standpoint of, like, we know, like, how to correct that and the things that we can do to try to fix it rather than, like, getting complacent where you see people that are the general pop that they've never had to have things that are uncomfortable in their lives to do the things they need to do to be better. Like, what advice can you give from your experience, or at least your background and the clients that you work with?
I think the main thing is finding something you enjoy, because ultimately, for me, especially the field I kind of work in, where they've done something fundamentally wrong for so long, the prospect of doing something different now is kind of like a big thing. Like, imagine you doing walking for the last 30 years and something you're never going to walk again. Like, It's a daunting thing. You're like, holy shit, I've just lost my legs, I can't walk anymore. Like, that's an extreme example, but they've not been doing something for so long. Now telling them to do something like, oh my God, but that's an hour out of my day, that's this, that's that. The main thing I think is finding something they enjoy, because people have this notion where fitness is going to the gym 7 days a week, like say eating chicken, rice and broccoli all day, not eating certain food groups. That's the kind of notion where they think we have to run 4 hours a day, and I'm like, you don't. Just find something you enjoy. And the easy way to think is if you've sustained a weight for X amount of time, then one of the most powerful things I think is just walking. Walking an extra 1,000 steps a day or buying a Fitbit. Something where people think you've got to go to the gym, you don't. If you enjoy walking, go do 20,000 steps a day and come back at the end of the week, you've done almost 150,000 steps. It's going to make a huge difference. And ultimately, if they enjoy it, they're going to stick to it long term because they're going to be in it for the long game. No one does fitness for a week and ultimately looks good for it. People who look good or look in shape or feel good or feel in shape, they've been doing something for a long time. Like, they've been doing it for like 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, their whole life. So once you find something you enjoy, that's really when you're going to see that like compounding interest. You're going to do something small each day, whether it's meal prepping to control your calories, whether it's walking a little bit more, not taking the mat, walking to work, something where they either bring the calories down or take the expenditure up. Once that compounds day after day, month after month, that's really where I always see the magic happen. When someone adds in just something small, find something that they enjoy, that's when the big picture is really going to come into it.
And I mean, like you're saying, I think that's a big, big thing that people don't think about. The misconception is like fitness is me going to the gym for 7 days a week. And it's like, that's not necessarily what it is. Like for me back in Colorado, like a lot of it was in the summers, I'm going hiking on the weekends. Like I'm also maybe like rock climbing or doing other activities like playing basketball because it's nice out rather than just sitting in a gym all day, like lifting weights. For you, I know it's a lot of like wrestling. Like in season, the way Drew gets best in shape is he's going to practice 5 days a week. It's like there's, or like even at tournaments, like warming up with kids, and like it's a like not stopping or finding things to, that you enjoy doing that are active. Because if, like you're saying, if you hate chicken and rice, like you can't force yourself to eat chicken and rice, like unless you've actually had to starve yourself or put yourself in a situation where you need to. But you can't just define fitness as one thing. Like it's not just, okay, I pick up this heavy weight and put it down. It's what, like you're saying, what's sustainable, what's repeatable, what do you enjoy doing? Because if it's not, I don't work out for a month and then I'm fit for the rest of my life. It's a little bit every day, consistently over a long period of time before you get results.
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of, and that's kind of one of my gripes about like the business world. It's like you go, we're going to send you to a leadership conference and you're going to be there for 3 days and you're going to come back a leader. It's like, no, like you don't develop those skills in 3 days, just like you don't get a six pack overnight. It's like, it's consistency and doing things that you believe are working and the things that you enjoy doing over and over again to get the results you want.
Yeah.
So, Drew, any last thoughts, closing thoughts? Episode one?
Fat shaming, do it, you know?
I don't do that.
No, I do it to my
Drew
friends.
Does it to his friends.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so, I don't know, do make a change, Matt. All right, I expect the same.
Whatever's going on here, Matt,
just take this, just be different.
Hey.
Change it.
Stillwater, Oklahoma, change.
Poughkeepsie, New York,
change. Awesome. Well, Jake, thanks for being on.
Jake, where can we find you on?
Yeah, social media. What do you got?
What do you want to plug right now? I like that they do that.
Yeah, because we got
we got that
big following. You know, this podcast might get 50, maybe get 100.
15 to 20.
I mean, you do have 100,000 subs on YouTube.
Yeah,
so I mean,
true. Logan Paul Walker.
17.5 million subs. That's what's up. JTaylor.fit on Instagram, JTaylorFitness on Facebook, where you can find me.
Find and subscribe to his email list.
You can find me on Tinder probably. Find me on if you're 81, you won't find me though. You won't find me.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Awesome, guys. Sweet.
Hey! It's going to be a Taco Bell.
Awesome one.
It's two types of people in this.
Dude.